From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with your state and local news update. Before their deadlines passed, applications surged for two of Juneau's pandemic relief programs to put thousands of dollars into locals' hands. The demand has outpaced what city officials budgeted for the programs, so the Juneau Assembly is holding a special meeting this evening to consider some changes. That includes making smaller payments so they can get money to more people. KTOO's Jeremy Shea has this preview.
The money involved in these programs all comes from the city's portion of the Federal CARES Act, which has to be spent by the end of the year. First, the Assembly will consider four emergency measures that would sweep up over $1 million in unspent CARES Act money from programs the Assembly over-budgeted for. Money that was for things like testing wastewater for COVID-19, subsidies for the school district's child care program known as Rally, and the first phase of a local business grant program. Then, the Assembly will take up changes to its housing and individual assistance grant programs. Quick disclosure, I've received one of these grants and have applied for the other. At the beginning of October, the Juneau Assembly committed $3 million to a housing and utility assistance program for locals financially impacted by the pandemic. By mid-November, the number of applications dropped off, and the program appeared to be vastly undersubscribed. So the Assembly bumped up the maximum award from $2,000 to $3,000. Then a second wave of advertising went out. Aaron Walker-Tolis, who's helping administer the program, says they got flooded.
It was as if the program had started over from scratch. We got a huge influx of hundreds of applications. Ultimately, it doubled the number of applications we had.
They've got almost 3,000 applications, but only enough money to pay for about 1,000. One measure being considered would cut the maximum award back down to $2,000. It's unclear if checks with the extra $1,000 that have already been paid out would have to be returned. A second measure would put $1.2 million of what was swept up from other CARES Act programs into these housing and utility grants, which would pay out grants to hundreds more households. And then there's the individual assistance grants. This program also has hundreds more applicants than there's money to pay for. Last week, the Assembly voted to make housing grant recipients ineligible for the individual assistance. That hasn't been finalized yet, but it would cut about half of these applicants. The Assembly will also consider putting an extra $400,000 of what was swept up into this program to cover more applicants. Walker-Tolis is worried about reconciling some of these late changes by the end of the year.
And that's the drop-dead date for the CARES Act money. And so that's my biggest concern is how do we do that?
All of these measures are up for public hearing at the Juneau Assembly special meeting. It begins at 5 p.m. You can watch it at ktoo.org or on the city's Facebook page. There are instructions to participate in the public hearings on the meeting agenda at juno.org. Comments can also be emailed in advance to boroughassembly@juno.org. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
It has been a quiet year at the Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area, but changes are still coming and residents can still weigh in on the plan that will make a long-term impact to the region's famous attraction. Barbara Miranda is the recreation area's director. She says she's looking forward to seeing tourism bounce back in 2021.
Even with this downturn in visitation in 2020, we're still being told by our consultants that we're anticipating about close to a million visitors annually by 2040.
She also says there have been some changes and modifications to the plan that the public should know about.
We're proposing to make the Nugget Falls loop fall into a loop, and we're proposing to put some public use cabins in the campground.
Miranda says other changes include new trailheads and creating more opportunities to view wildlife. Some residents have already voiced their concerns over the proposed changes.
Comments submitted earlier in the process stand and don't need to be resubmitted, but folks should be looking at those things that have been modified since the last scoping period was last February of 2020.
Previous versions of the plan included the controversial addition of boats that would take visitors across Mendenhall Lake to see the glacier up close. Because the glacier is receding, it eventually won't be visible from where the visitor center is. The decision to use boats on the lake has been postponed for now. The deadline for this round of public comments is January 15th. Miranda says the Forest Service will release an environmental impact statement around summer 2021, followed by another round of public comments. In other news, an online Alaska news outlet is suing Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration. Alaska landmine owner and journalist Jeff Landfield says he's being unfairly excluded from Dunleavy's press conferences and says it's a violation of his constitutional rights. KTOO's Rasha McChesney, has more.
In early December, Governor Mike Dunleavy held a press conference announcing his new budget. He laid out some and took questions. Each reporter who asked one was called on by a spokesperson, Jeff Turner. At the end of the Q&A, Turner gave reporters some instructions and then turned it back over to the governor for closing comments. But they were interrupted.
And with that, we'll go back to the governor for closing comments. I'm sorry, who was that? Sorry, Jeff, we're going to go to closing comments. Thank you.
Jeff Landfield runs the website Alaska Landmine. It started as a political news blog in 2017, but has since branched out to covering other issues. He says he had a question about how the governor's budget might go over in the legislature, but he wasn't called on to ask it. He wasn't even invited to the press conference at all. He says other reporters sent him the information he needed to call in. He says there have been tensions since the Dunleavy administration took office, but it has gotten worse this year.
I'm treated like a second class or a second tier person.
And after this last press conference, he'd had enough. He contacted a law firm, which sent a letter to the Dunleavy administration saying they were violating his constitutional rights by barring him from press conferences. They demanded that Landfield be allowed full access to the governor's press conferences and that he get the same notice that other members of the media get. The governor's office didn't agree to do that, so they sued. The lawsuit names Governor Mike Dunleavy, his spokesperson Jeff Turner, and his chief of staff, Ben Stevens. Landfield says, and lays out in the lawsuit, that he tried to contact Turner and Stevens to find out why he hasn't been invited to any of the press conferences this year. He says he's talked to Dunleavy about it too, but they haven't given him a reason. Landfield says Turner has implied that he isn't a real journalist. And that idea, that Landfield isn't a real journalist, is something he and his lawyers have worked to disprove in the lawsuit. They point out that he has thousands of readers in Alaska, that he's broken news that has shaped national, state, and local government policy, and that is often picked up by other news organizations. Landfield says he doesn't think the journalism he does is much different than others in the state, so he's not sure why he's having issues with the administration. He points out that he hasn't always written critically about them.
You couldn't argue, or you couldn't say that I've just gone after them unfairly. I think I've been pretty fair. But again, they probably don't like sometimes maybe the way I say things, or the fact that they don't have any recourse to call the boss, you know, if something happens they don't like.
And he says it's hard to do his job when he can't ask questions of state leaders in public.
There's a difference between asking somebody a question one-on-one and then asking somebody a question when everybody's watching. You know, the answers might change. And I think it's important to hold these legislators and you know, the governor accountable.
The governor's office doesn't issue press passes. There isn't a board in the state that decides who is or is not a journalist. And to be clear, Landfield does some things that you probably wouldn't find a journalist at other organizations doing. He weaves opinions into his news stories. He ran for office this year. But both Landfield and his lawyers say he is a journalist. They point out that he has a press pass issued by the legislature. And even if members of Dunleavy's administration take exception to his brand of journalism, his lawyer, Matt Singer, argues that they can't stop him from writing about them or politics.
One aspect of a free press is that the government, including the governor, don't get to pick and choose which media are entitled to report about government affairs.
Singer says it would be a simple fix to do what he and Landfield are asking them to do.
In this time with COVID, many of the governor's press conferences are being done virtually. And so fixing this situation would be as easy as adding the Alaska Landmine to an email invitation for virtual press conferences.
It's not clear what kind of argument the state would make against allowing Landfield into the press conferences. Maria Barr, a spokesperson for the Department of Law, says the state has seen the lawsuit, but she wouldn't talk about the particulars of the state's response to Landfield's demand letter or how they plan to argue in court. She wrote in an email that they'd file a response with the court. Singer and Landfield say their next move will be to file an injunction early this week, essentially asking for the courts to require that Landfield be allowed to attend press conferences while this lawsuit works its way through the system. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
And Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy announced Tuesday that he's splitting the state's health department in two. He and Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum say the department is too big, too unwieldy, and needs sharpened focus to better serve Alaskans. Crum says his department has more than 3,500 employees, the largest in the state.
We are operating under the tyranny of time. There's just not enough time and bandwidth in the day for the commissioner's office and staff to do anything other than move from fire to fire, crisis to crisis.
Dunleavy's plan is to create two new state agencies through an executive order. For more on this story, go to ktoo.org.